Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard. You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with Dr. Bass Clown Smith. This is Stairway to Heaven. This is the way radio should be heard. The way this music sounds, I feel like dancing. Get your dancing shoes on. We're going to rock the house.
Okay, hello. This is Dr. Bass Clown Smith. And welcome to the show. My guest is my wife, Pastor Patricia Smith. And I was talking with me, Christian Relationship. And before we get started, this young group called themselves Junior Dynamics. And the name of the song is Wonderful Jesus.
They'll suffer all night long. Giving up the right for the wrong. Without that, there will be a problem in our life that we got to solve sometimes. But we know Jesus. We know Jesus is going to solve all our problems. So that's why tonight we're going to call to you saying, Lord, it's such a wonderful Jesus. That's why we can say wonderful Jesus tonight.
Wonderful Jesus.
Yeah, that was a Junior Dynamics. They really, I made a mistake, but they changed their name to the Bentleys. Brother Bentley, I ask for your forgiveness because I know you're here in Louisville, Kentucky. So, hey, you're glad everyone know. Download that. If they got any more, let me know. I'll call you after the show. Anyway, getting back to what I was saying, back to this topic, Dave, Christian relationship with my wife, Evangelist Smith. And she's going to come on with Maletta come on and start her teaching lesson. We'll be back with more music at 15 minutes. Professor Smith, how you doing? How you enjoying yourself?
So far, I'm doing good, Dr. Bass. And the reason why I wanted to discuss this about Christian relationships is there are so many young women that have talked to me about their relationships, whether they have a good one or not. And for a lot of them, they would say, well, you know, I have a man in my life and he's kind to me. He's generous. He's good looking. He's kind. He's generous. He makes me laugh. I have fun when I'm with him. He must be the one. And some of them actually believe that. But then when I ask them this question, I'll say to them, well, is he a believer? Does he believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? They get quiet on me. And they ask me, well, what do you mean by that? I said, well, do they totally surrender themselves to Jesus? They would say to me, well, they go to church, they go to Bible study, they join different ministries and help out in the church. And I go back to them again and I said, but are they a believer? Did they totally surrender their life to Christ? So Dr. Bass, I get a lot of that from a lot of young women that I talk to on a daily basis. I meet people in the store and they'll come to me and ask me some questions and they'll talk about their relationship that they have, and they're Christian women and they're not quite sure whether this person is really a Christian or not. And I say to them, I say, there's another way that you can know whether or not they are a Christian. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22 that you will know them by their fruit. They look at me kind of strange. Okay, go to the Word, because it's all about in the Word. When they go to the Word and it tells them that in Galatians 5:22, it's about joy, peace, happiness, unconditional love, kindness, faithfulness. If you have these things, then the Bible says you are one of my disciples. So if they're not portraying any of those things, then they're not for God. Now there's a lot of false people within the ministry, within the churches. You have to be that woman to go to God and ask the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you have a right to go to God and to the Holy Spirit and ask them, is this person right? He will show you all the time. So when they do that, then they realize it. But here's the thing that I found out over the years, they still don't want to give it up. And then when they call me and say, guess what happened? This happened, that happened. I say to them, well, did you do what was told in the Bible? Did you look at that? But you don't understand, they'll say to me. And I'm like, oh, yes, I do understand. I've been down that road. I know what you're talking about. But you have to be consistent. You have to be obedient to what God's Word says. So when they do that, a lot of them say, well, he left. Okay. That's not the one then. Oh, he don't want to talk to me no more because I put some limits on him or some restrictions on him. But I said, my sister, let me tell you, if you say you love God and you serve in God, then you have to be the one to say to them, to say and not allow anything or anybody to come into your life to ruin that relationship that you have with God. What I love about the relationship that we have with God is personal. So when you get ready to leave this world, you're not going to take the boyfriend or the man with you. It's going to be just you and God. So he's going to know, what have you done? What have you been obedient? So it's all about what you and your relationship with God is all about. I know that a lot of times people say to me, well, you know, he's fine. He's good looking. He's fine. He treats me nice. But there are things that God will show you in a relationship, whether it's for you or not. And it's okay. Well, I don't want to be by myself, they'll tell me. I feel lonely. But God said in his word, what did he say? I will never leave you
nor forsake you. I've had in my time, the time that I was single, God would put me to sleep. He'd talk to me. So next thing I know, it's daytime. I'm okay. Go to the next day. And so it was years before he had to work on me so that I could be who I needed to be for him in order for someone to come into my life. I'm not saying it was easy. It was hard. I had many tears on my pillows at night. But I had to wait because I got tired of picking people that I thought, not what God thought, but what I thought was for me. And I had to realize that. So I tell the young women all the time, but I do have some things here that I wrote up about that. I have 10 breakers. I have 10 breakers that tells you that these are the breakers that you need to look at when you are in a relationship with a man. And these breakers will help you. So I'm hoping that, Dr. Bates, that I can help someone out there in the audience to understand some of these things that they need to know before you can say, well, this is the one. God gives us a way out. He gives us a way of escape. He gives us a way to not have to go through things that we go through unnecessarily. So if we listen to those breaks that I'm going to be giving you pretty soon in the next part of the program, then you will know what to do and how to live as a Christian in a Christian relationship.
Okay. Well, during those lessons, maybe you'll be able to help someone out there, because I see so many young people out there that don't, you know, just get together and walking. But maybe what you give to this evening or today, they will be, maybe they'll probably follow up on that. If you like our show and our comments of what she's about to do, Christian Relation, please give us a call at 1-877-932-9766. And ladies and gentlemen, this group here is called Surrender Buyers, the Children of God, out of Cincinnati, Ohio. That's what the Children of God, Surrender Buyers, the Children of God out of Cincinnati, Ohio. That group has been singing together for years. I remember when they were small, Swanna had them, and it was just four little young kids singing, backing it up, and they done got the best of it. Before I return this to back to Vanda Smith, let me remind you about tomorrow. May 4th, East High School. One and only great Doc McKenzie and the Highlights, along with the Keys of Harmony, the Gospel Interns, and the Divine Angels, and Family, and Tyrone Porter. and the list goes on and on. I'll be there myself. I will be with the Keys of Harmony playing bass guitar for them, so Dr. Bass will be there. So if you want to, got nothing to do, come on out. And as I said, if you'd like what we do, call me at 1-877-932-9677. That's 1-877-932-9677. All right, Benjamin Smith, we'll turn it right back to you, and take it away. Take it from here.
All right, thank you. Like I was saying before, there are 10 deal breakers in a Christian relationship. And I'm going to read these breakers down. I'm going to break it down to you because I think it's very important. Somebody's going to get help today on this. First, let me explain to you what a deal breaker is. A deal breaker is an issue which causes a relationship to fail. Okay? That's what a deal breaker is. It's an issue which causes a relationship to fail. Okay, so let's do number one. Number one, he does not submit to Christ. It's his way or no way. This person is if he's doing that, he's unable to lead. The Bible says that when you become one in a marriage, you're supposed to be the leader. But if you can't submit to Christ, how are you going to submit to the woman? Amen? So that is a breaker. Okay? Breaker number two, he is an unforgiving person. He has unforgiveness in his heart. He won't be able to forgive you for if you do anything, because there are going to be some trials and tribulations in a marriage, in a relationship. And if he's the type of, I can't forgive you, he's got unforgiveness in his own heart, he's not going to be able to forgive you. God says you must forgive so that I can forgive you. That's a breaker. Breaker number three, he's prideful. Some people don't want to hear this, but this is the truth. These are the things that you need to look at before you can say, this is the man that God sent me. Because God don't send no mess. He does not send no mess. He is prideful. That means he has a hard time admitting. Now, this goes for women, too. I'm not saying men. This goes for women, too. He has a hard time admitting he is wrong. His pride keeps him from admitting when he's wrong. That's a breaker. The pride. I'm right. I know I'm right. And I don't care what you say. I know I'm right. You can't have that in a relationship. You got to be open-minded. You got to be able to listen to the other person so that they can know how they have feelings too. I used to tell people, you don't know my life till you walk in my shoes. You have to know what's going on. So get rid of that pride. If they got that pride, you got a struggle on your hand. Okay? Breaker number four, he's not with the community. And what that means is that he's missing out on other men challenging him. Because when you be in a relationship with a woman and you have a relationship with other men within the community, they help to build who you are. You talk about things, you do things, but if you got this man, I don't need no friends, I just need you. You got to be careful of that. That's a red flag. Because you do need other men so that y'all can help and build each other up. That's what it says. He is missing out on other men's challenges to live his life according to the Lord. So if he says, if he's not in the community and want to deal with other men his age or men that he knows that's in Christ, then he is not the one. That's a breaker. Number five. Church is not important to him. He says, I don't need to go to church to serve God. I've heard a lot of men say that, and I don't know why they say that, but they say it. They'll say, but the Bible tells you need to dwell together with brethren. That's Psalms 133. Behold, how good and pleasant to dwell together in unity. Now, if he don't do that, that's a breaker. That's another breaker. Number six, he treats his family poorly. If you see him disgrace his family and you ignore it, I'm going to ignore it because he's nice to me. He don't treat me that way, but he treats his family that way, his mother, his father, his sisters, his brothers. That's a breaker. Don't even just think about that, because it's going to go to you next. You got to be careful. You got to listen. You got to watch the things. And what I love about God, he gives you red flags. And sometimes we women, I have been guilty of that over the years. I ignore the red flags because I don't want to be by myself. I feel like I'm going to be all alone. But as you continue to serve God, you do not be lonely. There's no loneliness there. It's all joy to knowing that he's there for you and he will do whatever you need. He will supply your every, I mean your every need. So don't let that hinder you just because he's being nice to you, but yet he's not being nice to his family. That's a breaker. Number seven, he pushes your boundaries. That's the big one. He wants you to do things that are not contrary to God's word. Okay? We're going to talk about, the Bible says in Romans 12:1, present yourself or bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, holy, and acceptable in his sight, accepted to God. 1 Corinthians talks about flee from sexual immorality. Don't allow that to happen. God wonderfully made you. He made you for a reason, for a purpose. You do not just do anything because this person tells you to do it. Your body is sacred. Keep it that way. God will bring you a mate, and you'll enjoy it. He'll enjoy you. You'll enjoy them. But when you give around to this person, you're in that relationship, go to another person, you're really going to a place you don't even want to be. I don't understand why a lot of women I've talked to, don't you know, and I'm going to say this, don't you know that when that person, you have relations, sexual relations with that person, you don't know how many he didn't have with. So that spirit that's on him is going through you. A lot of women don't, what? It's the truth. When I found that out, I said, whoa. So all the five women he had, I got their spirits now too because I had sex with them. Yes, you do. Be careful. Do not do that. Wait on the Lord, he says. Be of good courage. Wait and watch what he do for you. Number eight. I'm almost through. Number eight. He's very impatient. He will try you at times. Life will try you at times. And if you don't know to take a break and say a prayer, your relationship will suffer. You have to take a break and say, wait a minute, stop, listen. And let him be able to let God tell you what's going on. That's another thing that I found out a lot of women don't do. I was guilty of that. When God is trying to tell me something, I didn't want to hear it because I didn't want to be by myself. Oh, don't you want me to be happy, God? You want me to be happy? I'm happy. But no, I wasn't. There were things that were going on that I blinded myself to. So I allowed things to happen to me. But God had to show me. He said, you know what you need to do? You need to be by yourself. You need to let go of all that. Totally surrender yourself to God. Totally surrender yourself to me, he said. I will show you what you need. I will give you what you need. And that's what he did. And that's what he will do for you. But you got to surrender it all. Then when it's time, he will put that person in your life. The Bible says that when a man finds it, he finds it a good thing. That means he's ready. He didn't serve Christ. He knows Christ. He's going to treat you like Christ, like he's supposed to be treated you, like he's supposed to treat you. But we have to wait. We women, sometimes we don't want to wait. We feel like we're outcasts. I don't have a man. Okay, it's okay to not have someone in your life right now. But when God is ready, he will bring you what you need. So be very careful with that. That's a breaker, that he's impatient. Okay, breaker number nine. He doesn't speak the truth. Listen to what he says. If he lies, he will do it during the whole relationship. You have to be very careful. You have to listen. Do not let your flesh, because the Bible says we war not after the flesh, but after the spirit. We need to not allow our flesh to get in the way. Oh, he didn't mean to say that. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Whatever's in his heart came out. So you have to be very careful of that. So that is another red flag. That's a breaker. Breaker number 9. And for the last one, breaker number 10, he won't define the relationship or move forward. Okay? He wants to stay there. But you have to ask the Holy Spirit, seek the Holy Spirit for the answers. He's going to let you know if he's the one. The Holy Spirit will let you know. Now, I'm talking to Christians. This is not for those that ain't saved. We're talking about those that are true believers. They want to know the Spirit, things in spirit and in truth. And those who are walking for the Lord. If you really are doing that, you will listen as the Holy Spirit will lead and will guide you and show you what you need to do in that Christian relationship. It's a beautiful relationship when you're walking right and he's walking right. The Bible tells us that we should not be unequally yoked to someone.
Okay.
Heard of the notion of pay it forward? It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward, doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Have you ever wished you could spend more time with your kids, or maybe quality time with your spouse, when you can actually have an uninterrupted conversation? Do you owe your dad a little catch-up time? Well, it's time to reconnect, and no activity can bond a family together quite like boating and fishing. I mean, think of all the great experiences you had as a kid when you went boating or fishing. Well, guess what? It's still great. Boating and fishing are the perfect opportunities for your family to get away, to talk, to laugh, to create new memories. So take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you. If you haven't been on the water in a while and you're not sure where to start, or if you just like to have some helpful tips for your next trip, please visit takemefishing.org. This has been a public service of TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Every year, June marks the beginning of two busy seasons, summer and wedding season. If you are legally changing your name, you need to apply for a replacement Social Security card reflecting your new name. This is easier to fix now when you first change your name than years from now when you retire. So go to our website at www.socialsecurity.gov/SS number or call us at 1-800-772-1213, TTY 1-800-325-0778, to find out what specific documents you need to change your name and apply for a replacement card.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles, but the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Dr. Bass again, and welcome to the show. Now, the topic today is Christian relationship, and if you wish to make comments or questions, please call us at 1-877-932-9766. As 1-877-932-9766, and give us a call. And before I get into the question, my guest and everything, I'm gonna make two announcements. Don't forget tomorrow night, Rise to Praise for Jesus, Doc McKenzie and the Highlights, along with Doc McKenzie, will be the Gospel Intruders, the Inviting Angels, Keys of Harmony, Five Star Harmonized, Tyrone Porter, Family, and the Lyric Supremes. That's Samara East High School. That program starts at 5:30. Be there. Also, there's another one coming, and the Glad Sound up there, Restore. The girls, they will be here June the 16th on the Lyric Supremes anniversary. We'll have a little more, give you a little more information on that, because I'm going to have the managers of the Lyric Supremes on the show in the near future, and then we can talk about this, talk about the anniversary and everything. Getting back, give me a couple of shout outs to say hello to Summit Trace employees and staff. Rest of the call
Perkins and his wife Nikki, and Big Jim, and a few of my coworkers. I got a couple. I call them local. we joke with each other, but I give a shout. And you would like to mention shout outs, please?
Well, I just want to shout out to my sisters in Philadelphia, and in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, my daughters, and my sons in Texas. I want to give them a shout out. I had a wonderful time. I went to Texas to a wedding, and it was just a wonderful wedding, and I thank God I was able to go. Thank you.
Okay. All right, going back to the topic. And then she said, he does not commit to Christ. What do you mean when you say when a man does not commit to Christ?
Okay, Dr. Bass, those are the breakers. You're talking about the breakers?
The breakers.
I said the 10 breakers that a person should know when you're going into for a Christian relationship. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, and what was the question you asked me, sir?
Question, you said here on why he does not commit to Christ. Well, why do you think some men do not commit to Christ?
Why do I think that some men do not?
Why do they think?
Okay, well, the reason why I think is just my opinion. I don't know what their real reason. Only God knows the reason, real reason why they don't submit. Because there's a lot of things that you have to give up. And you have to be disciplined. And you have to be obedient. And there's a lot of men who feel like because they're the man, they don't want to be under nobody telling them what to do. There's a lot of people like, there's a lot of women like that too. But they don't understand. God did not ask no question when he got up on that cross and died for your sins. He didn't say, well, were you obedient? He just said, I'm going to do it for you because I love you. And I believe that if men just realize that, and some women just realize when you come into church, you understand you're not coming to church for other people. You come to church because God did something for you. And in return for his love, you're doing something by serving him while you're in a ministry or in a church.
Okay, let me put my opinion on that because I have some friends that, number one, I got some friends that don't, mm-hmm. that will not commit to make Christ or go to church because some of the men, I ain't going to say all men, but some of the men, the ones that don't really submit to Christ don't want to go to church because mm-hmm. they got a lot of people in their ear gate and they pick up a lot of stuff from the outside. It's stuff that I see that their body's pamphlets or their body's books, and they tell them this, that, blah, 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 blah,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know. And they come and said, I had one told me, say, man, they tell me about the time that Adam and Eve, when God created Adam and Eve, and he told me, well, that didn't happen because he's talking about the seahorses and everything. And mm-hmm. I said, what the heck he talking about? So the next day I told him I had to go with the way the Bible go. And it's hard to get somebody like that. He even taught his son the same thing. And number two, being unforgiving, I was there. I've been against together with my partner, but I was unforgiving with someone outside that relationship for years and years.
So you're talking about the what number is that for the
number two?
That's they don't want to forgive.
Right.
You know, it's very hard to forgive someone after they hurt you. I mean, it's hard because you did something. You got into my space, and I'm angry. So I'm going to carry that anger. Mm-hmm. But the Bible tells us we have to forgive. In order for him to forgive, we have to learn to forgive. You cannot be in a relationship if you're unforgiving. I don't care if it's a parent. I don't care if it's a kid, a son, or whoever. You got to learn to forgive them and go on because they got you stuck. When a person don't forgive, you're in a place where they're still in control. And you are not supposed to allow that person to be still in control of your life. So when you forgive them, say, you know what? I know what you did to me. Even if they're gone and died, in your heart, you say, Lord, I know what they did to me, but you know what? I forgive them because I got to move on. I cannot hold on to this. Unforgiveness causes sickness. Unforgiveness causes disease in the body. People don't realize that because you're holding something. You're not letting it go. And God said, cast all your burdens on me, whatever it is, even if they're not even here, even if they're gone and dead.
Okay, that is true. I mean, like I said, I done did that and have done that. But, you know, I got away. When I feel that unforgiveness, that pride, unforgiveness, that's why Mm-hmm. I don't have people during that time. I didn't have people around me because mm-hmm. I didn't want to, you know, didn't want to say something that might hurt them. Being prideful, I have friends are prideful, and sometimes we men, we have pride. We have a lot of pride within
mm-hmm.
ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there comes a time when something comes where we steadily going, let's see, how would I say, going their way or going the way they should. He better keep his, he better, you know, keep himself from admitting where I was wrong. Some people say that I'm wrong, I should go ahead and ask for forgiveness. Some people say, well, I ain't, some guys, people, I might say men and women, they won't say, they won't admit their guilt or their wrongs. They think they always right. Do you feel that, do you believe we, should we admit to some things we do wrong or?
Of course. I believe that we should admit it, but it's, like you say, it's very hard, mm-hmm. especially when you so used to doing everything your way, and then you can't have your way,
right.
So you kind of have that pride, well, I know it goes this way, and I don't care what nobody say, I'm going to do it this way.
Uh-huh.
But God has us all here for a purpose and a reason, and we got to help each other. So we got to take that pride and stick it somewhere else and say, okay, you know what, I can make a mistake. I made a mistake. It's okay. We all are going to make a mistake. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. But if we are being led by the Spirit and not by the flesh, which there's a lot of people are being led by their flesh, not by the Spirit, then we can walk in love. We can walk in kindness. We can get rid of that prideful state. Sometimes you don't even realize you knowing that you're in pride. And I'm going to share a little bit, to be a little transparent in my life. I remember with my kids, after my divorce with my husband, I was the type of person that didn't want to bother my kids about anything. I wanted to make sure that I did what I had to do for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they would say, Mom, why didn't you call me and tell us? Why didn't you let us know? Because my pride said, no, I'm going to do it. I don't need nobody. God had to show me, yes, you do need people. You need people in your life to help you. You cannot do it all. Come to me, and I'll tell you who to go to, and you'll get it straightened out. So, yes, pride is a very hard thing to get rid of, but you can do it if you continue to listen and serve God and ask Him to help you to get rid of it.
Yeah, because a lot of people we all got prides.
Hmm.
Some good ones and some bad ones. And some of my prides can be stubborn. Sometimes our prides can be kind. But, you know, sometimes we have to look at ourselves trying to let that cut down some of that pride. And sometimes I have so much pride that I remember a time when I got sick one time and wasn't living too far from Grant Hospital. And I got to the emergency room and said, you was hurting the bed, why you didn't come to the ambulance? I said, no, I thought I could make it. And the nurse told me to say, well, that's your pride. You got too much pride. Mm-hmm. The next time you shouldn't walk. Next time you get sick like that, call the ambulance. So that was that. And he's not with the community. Could you give me a little more explanation?
Explain okay, that, what number was that one?
Four.
That was number four. That means that when he's not in the community. When with a man, men need other men. They love it. Oh, no, I don't need nobody. Yes, you do. That's pride right there. But anyway, you do need other men because you'll know how things go within a man, especially the generation today that there's not a lot of father images in their lives. So they need to see what it is to be a man, to stand up and take the role of a leadership. And you get that from other men. They might have some things they can talk about. I know they tell me, I've never been there, but they tell me in a man's barber shop, they talk just as much as the women do. Hello? I didn't know that. I thought they was quiet. But anyway, so that's when you get a chance to talk. Or go to different men functions that mm-hmm. men are having. It's so much that men need to help other men with.
Mm-hmm.
We need each other.
Yeah, we do need each other. And men do need to get together. I have a friend of mine that he had lost someone, and I, you know, try to stick with him and everything. Hopefully that our friendship will grow, which I got a feeling which it is, because it is growing. I'm looking for him to feel better. So. Men do need each other. Now, number five.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to try to explain this the best way I know how.
What's number five? I forget what number five was.
Church not going, church is not that important.
Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead, Brother Man.
Oh, man, do I hate that. I hate that. You ask, I'll tell you, let's go to church. And we got, man, I don't go to church. Why? I ain't got no business. I ain't going to be putting no money in church for some preacher to be riding around his Cadillac and all this stuff. I said, whoa, let me tell you this right quick. Now, I'm a preacher's grandson and the uncle's, I'm a nephew of a preacher. And from what I seen of them two, I mean, they were not all for what blah, blah, was what they was in for. They were, now I'm, especially my grandfather, he was, Reverend W.L. Smith was a great preacher, a great man, mm-hmm. and he'll do a sermon or some things he will tell you in a minute. When you get up there, he tell you, hey, I don't do everything for money. I got an 8-hour job.
Right.
That's what he would tell him. And some of these men that don't, you know, feel that that's what it's all about. And then some of them don't dare. You think I'm going to go sit up? Why should I go to church when I can stay home and enjoy my, they really drink their beer and their wine before they go to church.
Watch their sports.
Their sports and everything.
Or their TV. I ain't got time for that.
And then they go to church, they can't wait till that 1 o'clock hour to get home, watch that football game. I'm guilty of one thing. I know what I'm guilty about on Sundays. I'm guilty about when I got out of church, I'm ready to go do a program with the group. And I'm ready to do that. But sometimes I have programs, or sometimes when I get home, I can remember times before you and I get out of church and have either go to the movies or then go to the music. I would go home, take my clothes off, and sit on that couch or on that bed and just watch TV and cook me some. I said, I'm going to cook something. It don't be much, so I just get to cook it any way I can. However it tastes, it was all right with me. I didn't care.
So, Dr. Bates, what I want to ask you, you talk to a lot of men, and you know a lot of men that don't go to church. And what do they say to you? What is their real concern saying why they don't go to church? I mean, what are they saying? I can't understand that.
What I do want to, okay, some of the men don't want to go to church because some feel like they don't. They're not dressed properly. Some say they don't want to church because they been to prison and jail. That's when they, you know, they think that mostly some of the guys I know that just got out of prison and jail and say they don't want to go to church because they feel that people might know that they've been in jail and they might hold that against them.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to tell them every day, it's not the way it is.
So do you think that it's the fault of the people that's in the church not letting them know it's okay? In fact, most of the people that was in church have been in their shoes. Hmm. Just because you're not in them now, don't say you wasn't in them before. So do you think that could be some of the issues that they need to come up with another way of saying, come on in, wrap their arms around them in love and say, it's okay, I've been down that road, it's all right. I believe that if people do more of that, you will get more of the men in church. There's a lot of women in church, but what about the men? There's some churches that got some men, and I'm proud of them. When I see them, I'll be like, wow, this is awesome. But there are some churches that don't, the men are not just coming.
Well, some of the churches that, some of the people, the churches I've been to, and some of the people I have met, have a person don't have nothing to wear, or that, you know, they come to church and they see guys dressed in suit and tie and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, I ain't got the proper clothes with them. Like I had told some friends, say, hey, don't worry about the shirt and tie, just come as you are.
Right.
And then when they walk in there, they see what these guys wearing and everything, they start talking about it. He's no better. He shouldn't have came in here like this.
You should get
a lot of that, and they keep talking about it, and they hear it, and they don't want to go. They don't want to go. And you got to be careful because you can hurt somebody. I remember, I can tell you for one, there's a time, I remember times when I was in Fort Worth, Texas, and a guy named Paul asked me to, I had on t-shirts, some jeans and everything. And Paul, bass player, when that Paul asked me, hey, Lou, would you come play for me for my group tonight? My bass player's sick. I said, Paul, look what I got on. He said, don't worry about that. He said, you just go on up there and play. And I went up there and played, and he said, anybody say anything, tell them to come see me. And not, you know, that was the first time I ever went up there in a t-shirt and a pair of jeans and a jacket. But I found, after I did it, I found out that it's not the clothes you wear, it's just what's in the heart. And a lot of people tear them apart. That's why you hardly see any men. That's why they're out there doing. I mean, like, when I go to church on Sunday, I see more men should be in the church than doing what they've done. But, you know, who cares, man? Why should I be there? Blah, blah, blah. Well, it's not, I'm going to say this. It's not the finances that they put in church. That's to help the church. It's not the giving preachers the money so he can get by in his car. He has a job. The money he went for it, that's his. The thing is to build the kingdom of God and help build the church up. So you can, that, you know, that could bring more people in. Mm-hmm. And in the churches it's hard, but you know, slowly but surely, I see for myself, you get people in there, and slowly, sure, the church is kind of dying slowly. Some people, they fading out the church.
Yes, they are.
And that's a shame. You build all your life, your kids, you grow, and then you're going to fade the church out. Next, number six is, he treats his family poorly.
Oh.
If you see him disgrace his family, and you know it because he's nice, to you, red, then you call it a red flag.
That's a red flag.
Okay, hold it right there. We got the new the late Troy Ramey and the Soul Seekers. And this is called The Power of God. By the power of God, and he passed away about a couple of months ago. And Troy Ramey, been to a couple of his concerts. I believe I have appeared on the same concerts with him with another group. And that group there they from the heart. I mean, when they come out on stage, they always had their Bibles in their hands, and that's the way they were. But even before they sing, they'll come out and had their Bibles in hand, sit with the congregation. By the time they get ready to go sing, they sung. And I mean, Charles Ramey was a Christian, very Christian hearted man. Getting back to my subject, if you feel like you've got any comments, anything you want to say, please call us at 932-9766. It's 1-877-932-9766. And if you feel like you got a comment on this topic, please feel free to call. If you got anything anything to say about the music, feel give us a call. And I'm trying to spread the word and play the music at the same time, because you know, music's everything, but sometimes the word got to come through. And what I'm trying to do is get the word and trying to bring groups together. Let's go back to Ten Breakers. We had number six. He treats his family poorly. And I've seen I've seen that happen. Men have seen men treat their family poorly, but outside their family, they treat them like royal queens. When the lady on the inside should be the queen, but the lady on the outside, the way he mistreats his family. Could you give me any inferences on that?
Well, there's a lot of that goes on. There's a lot of deep-rooted issues, like we talked about pride a few minutes ago, but. So what that family member might have done to them years ago, or months ago, and they still haven't forgiven them. Mm-hmm. So when they get around them, they may say some nasty words or do some nasty gestures to them that compensates that you hurt me. So they try to get them back. But that comes with pride, too. That comes with unforgiveness when they don't want to forgive what that family member did. So watch out for that. So you got to get deep down in the relationship, in the conversation when you're with someone. Find out where they're really coming from and let them be able to bring it out.
Okay. We're going to stop right there because we got the mighty clouds of joy, and pretty soon our time will be up. And Joe Lagun and the mighty clouds of joy.
Comments about the deal breakers, just remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what we do right, what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Just think about that scripture right there, and that should help you with your relationship. Thank you, and God bless.
Okay, let me remind you about tomorrow night, Dr. McKenzie, and the highlights, I call them exciting highlights, but they're the highlights, along with the Gospel Intruders, the Divine Angels, Keys of Harmony, Five Star Harmonizing, Tyrone Porter, which was the member of the Paul Porter and the Christianaires. He's the manager. Family out of Columbus, and the Lyric Supreme. So be there and enjoy yourself. You ain't got nothing to do, be there.
Doc McKenzie
will be there tomorrow. I hope he sang my song, Wonder What the Lord Can Do. And I really want to hear him sing that. But like I said, I'll be there. I have to be there tomorrow to do the show. Right now, this is Dr. Bass getting ready to come off. Evangelist Smith and the women of the community will be on the show the next time. And I don't know what they're talking about, but May 31st, I'll be here, which will be called Manager Day. So remember this. The mind is nothing but a garden, what you put in the groves. And this is Tommy Ellis. I am not the one. Have a great day. Enjoy yourself. Good night.
I used to be. I'm not the same person I used to be. Let me tell you about the time I was grown up in age. Lord knows not in mind. Jesus came into my life, and I'm here to tell you he made me feel satisfied. I'm not the same person
I used to be.
I'm not the same.
Used to be.
Oh, no.
I used to be.
to move on. Let me tell you what happened to me. I slowed.